let's go a bit deeper into the risk assessment profile. So when we talk about the due diligence that you perform, how do you assess new borrowers?
Sure. Yes, thank you for this question. This is one of the most important aspects of our platform, and we actually that's actually also one of the points how we differentiate ourselves from other platforms, because the due diligence procedure is very rigorous for MacLear. Basically, before being onboarded, any project undergoes a very holistic due diligence procedure consisting of legal due diligence, commercial due diligence, and of course, financial due diligence. As part of the legal due diligence procedure, we of course request all the necessary documentation as to establish that the business is in good standing, duly operating, has a track record in its industry, that the team is properly set up, the founders have a track record of operating in this industry, right? So, for example, if a business is young, 2 years or less, the likelihood that we would onboard this project is very, very low because the risks that the team might not proceed with what they want is very high. Right. So yeah, basically our approach was developed through harnessing all the best practices from the banking sector and commercial sector. We request our clients to fill out a very detailed due diligence questionnaire consisting of 40 questions. That's only the legal part of it. And of course, we provide interviews with the team, with the founders to understand all the details of how the business operates, how the business model operates, whether they have sketchy counterparts, operate in sanctioned jurisdictions, for example, because ultimately this might create impediments for the business project, and ultimately investors might suffer from this. But I'd perhaps point out the most important part of the due diligence process. Of course, we place a lot of emphasis on the financial performance of the companies. So of course, such parameters as the loan-to-value ratio, the borrower's credit history and repayment history are paramount to us, and we assess these. These are the biggest score points in our scoring model. Of course, we analyze all the financials, including the income statement, the balance sheet, cash flow statement, to understand where the business is going, how it's performing financially. If we see a decline, we would most probably also ask questions, and the likelihood that we would onboard the project is also not very big. Yes, so if the business is ready to provide very strong and liquid collaterals or personal guarantees, then of course we might continue conversation with this. So yes, we assess the quality of the collateral, and absolutely every project we onboard is collateralized, so there's no exception for this, which is also a safeguard for our clients, that for investors, that repayment defaults on payments would be minimized. We're happy to provide a more a deeper assessment of our scoring model, but this might not be especially interesting for the investors. So I'll perhaps finish here.
Yeah, and also, yeah, in the nearest future, you will see the summary from the scoring model in our homepage. If you choose a specific project, you will see the summary from our scoring model, and it will be rated with, I guess, so from 1 to 5 maybe. So you will
Yes.
see the points.
Yes, basically our aim is now to kind of simplify our scoring model for investors. So that they can see the strength and the weaknesses of a project in a let's say more down to earth language. So yeah, that's something we're going to work on. And also another thing we're making is we are enhancing our scoring model for real estate. So we're going to separate the scoring for projects in the real sector and IT projects, because the approach is a little bit different here. So our risk assessment is very rigorous, and yeah, we place a lot of emphasis in this, because of course, this is our reputation, and we want to operate ethically and properly.
Yeah, obviously, it's a bread and butter to perform well with the loan portfolio in order to gain long-term trust also from investors, and make sure also the promised returns can live up to their expectations. Now, thanks for elaborating a lot on the criteria that you're looking at. I was wondering, do you have certain no-go criteria? So for instance, do you exclude certain industries from the borrower side, where you say like this, you know, it's maybe not really a predictable cash flow in a sense, or, you know, can you say like where's like hard lines that you wouldn't cross when you would consider a borrower to get on the platform?
Yes, thank you. That's a very good question. As I said, we try to apply a holistic approach here. And for example, the no-go would be if a business is very early, is a very young business with no proper track record, or the founders have no proper track record in general. This is a deal breaker for us. We would not onboard a project like that. The other criteria is, of course, the industry in which the project operates. If it's, for example, a supplier of some defense sector components, then this is also very questionable for us, both in terms of the supply chain and the ethical part of it. So we go deeply into the business model and supply chain of the potential borrower to understand how it operates. Of course, stories like supply chains with heavy reliance on components from sanctioned jurisdictions, for example, right? This is also something we would perhaps cross out because of how the supply chains are functioning now. So we see potential risks in this. This is, well, from the top of my head, this is these are the criteria I would. Perhaps name, but of course, there's no holistic way of doing this for each and every project is very different, and we have to apply a risk-based approach to every project and undergo a very deep investigation to understand the risks. This is why we conduct interviews with founders to understand very deeply the business model and potential risks that it entails.
In terms of geographies, I was, you know, getting the impression it's largely Estonian-based companies that get a loan on MacLear. I think there was maybe one or two from Lithuania. Does it have something to do with, let's say, the accessibility of data that you get from Estonia or in the Baltics in general? Or you feel like this is just like, what's the benefit from, you know, having a focus on the Baltic area?
No, it was, yeah, I can answer. It was not a focus on Estonia, yeah, because Alexander and Denis, as you know, they are Estonians, yes, and they have Estonian citizenships. They have also a lot of friends here who have this kind of businesses, yes, real businesses. And that's why it was not easiest and maybe fastest way to start the platform, to move forward and to onboard these projects as soon as possible, to onboard them firstly. And right now we are growing, we are trying to find new projects from different countries. You can see one from Lithuania, soon will be one from Spain, Bulgaria, and also we are trying to find these projects in Switzerland. So you will see from different countries, different kind of projects, different businesses also. Production, manufacturing, retail. So we are trying on board really only conservative real businesses with, and they of course need to provide all the tangible assets as a collaterals.
Do you have certain policies in terms of conflict of interest? Because you now mentioned, okay, there's like from the shareholders' perspective, you know, they have their own network, they have friends that work in those sectors. Do you have guidelines in terms of preventing, you know, your shareholders being too close to the projects that you're assessing?
Yes, I think I might answer on this. Dima, please chime in if you want.
Okay.
Or So of course, when setting up MacLear and designing all the procedures, the conflict of interest procedure was one of the policies we set up. And the decision-making process at MacLear is designed in a way that basically eliminates the people having friendship or I don't know some relationship to founders from the decision making of whether to onboard the project or not. So the only role they carry in this process is just basically bringing the business for consideration of onboarding. However, the process itself is universal and designed for each and every business, and the scoring model basically and our further risk assessment eliminates the possibility of any favoring of these projects.
Okay, so it couldn't happen that the shareholders are also involved into some of the borrower projects?
No, of course, that's actually a very good it's of course a no-go for us as well. If but we never had any cases of projects onboarded when the shareholders of the project are the founders of very brutal violation of conflicts of interest, and we of course check this. So that's a no-go for us, of course.
In terms of the collateral, I was curious, you said like you have companies from different industries, so I'm assuming also it might be difficult maybe in some cases to register the collateral. How do you operate on that side of the business, of the risk management? And do you look at certain, you mentioned now loan to values, this is obviously a bit more in the real estate sector, but do you look at certain guarantees, collateral to secure the loans, and what are the guidelines or what's the range that you're operating in here?
Yes, that's a very good question. So basically, our approach to collateralizing the money is the better, the more liquid the collateral is, the more the higher the possibility is that we will onboard the project. We had a numerous amount of cases where, for example, borrowers from the real sector told us that they are ready to provide their machinery XYZ that you can buy in Germany or sell only in Germany, right, for a market value which is so much below than the project the borrowing they request. So of course we provide a market assessment of the collateral, how easily we would be able to sell it off. And of course if it's not liquid, then we ask the borrowers to come up with the more liquid assets. In some cases that might be personal guarantees with property or more liquid tangible assets, and we always find a personalized solution here if based on other criteria the project is eligible to be published on our platform. So of course yes, this is a common sense approach. Non-liquid collaterals are not accepted as collaterals.
And the range, now I know from previous conversations that you don't have a certain loan to value ratio as such, but can you maybe talk about how big you would like the securities to have ideally to, you know, get a better feeling of getting an agreement with the borrower?
I think we actually do have we do have a range of loan to value of the specific no-go of the LTV. I need to consult my notes of the scoring methodology. To be honest, they're not handy right now, but I think if my memory doesn't fail me, it's 70% to 80%. I think it's a standard market approach. Which we do not go below that. But of course, as I said, we try to meet both ends. Like if the project is project borrowers are able to provide us with alternative collaterals, which we might assess as okay, we are ready to negotiate with them to find alternative solutions. And yes, as I said, if the project is good in all other aspects and might serve for the benefit of our interests of our investors.
Another interesting aspect that you could talk about is obviously the interest range on the platform is between 13% to 19% when I checked the last time. Why would you say is it difficult for borrowers in the Baltics to get, let's say, a more affordable, more attainable interest rate from the banks when borrowing money?
Dima, I think you would be better suited to answer this question.
Yes, as you can see right now, yeah. In the banking, it will take a long, very long time, yeah, to get approval of the loan. And also, what kind of benefit yet we have here? We privately go with all of a specific project. We assess, we work like with each client thoroughly, and we can onboard them, like how I can say. I can send maybe to you better the explanation or to your answer, and you can understand more why it's better to work with us than not to work with a bank.
It will maybe Daria can elaborate on this better. Yeah, maybe Daria can comment on this. Is it just a matter of pure speed and accessibility to get money faster, or what's the situation for the borrowers?
Yes, you can get.
Sorry, Dima, you
go ahead.
Okay. Yes, basically, I think this is also one of the strong points we have as a platform. We actually have a very strict methodology, like a bank, but because of our more flexible approach, we operate as a fintech, and we can actually provide our investors with a better turnaround, and we do all this assessment quicker than usual banks because of how our procedures are set up, not compromising quality, of course, and because we lack the bureaucracy and, you know, this heavy weight that many banks have. This basically opens up the capital market for a lot of borrowers. And equally, what we have heard from a lot of project borrowers is that they are more eager to come to fintech platforms like MyClear to secure investment directly from investors, largely because they are also interested in cutting their costs in terms of the interest rate, because banks would not necessarily onboard projects with an interest rate that they want. They would request significantly more as part of their margin. And we as a fintech company just charge also a little bit less than a standard bank would.
Okay, so you think even the interest rates are more competitive compared to the banks in the Baltics?
From what we see now, the dynamics in the banking sector, yes, fintech platforms like MyClear offer better interest rates for both borrowers, and equally investors are more interested in higher yields. So yes, at this stage, yes.
Okay. If we talk about the speed of funding, which you mentioned as a benefit for borrowers as well, how quickly is the turnaround from the first application until the final decision from MyClear if you put the project on the platform on average?
So on average, the whole risk assessment process takes no longer than 3 days, including the interview with the founders, requesting all the documentation. Of course, this depends on how quickly the project borrowers themselves react and cooperate with us. We had cases when we had to postpone the communication for 2 months. It took us 2 months to request all the necessary documentation from the borrowers. Simply, they didn't really understand what is required. But usually, if it's a duly operating business and they know what is needed from them, we do this very quickly. So usually, it's 3 to 5 business days maximum to fully complete the process of onboarding.
Thanks for sharing those insights. Let's switch now towards the end of the conversation to the provision fund. Just very briefly, can you explain what it is about, how it works?
So as you can see, the provision fund, we earn our commission. It's totally 6% from each successfully funded project. And the platform receives this 6%. Yes, the platform receives 6% and 4 goes to our directly to our bank account as a profit, and 2% they goes to provision fund. And at the moment, there is about 30,000 euros in the provision fund. So it's 2% from all successfully funded projects.
Okay. Can you explain, now you said like how big the provision fund is at the moment. Can you maybe just like again put a general emphasis, because the primarily intention was just to cover up short-term repayment delays from the interest. The question for me is, how do you plan to work with the provision fund? How do you want to scale the size also with a growing loan portfolio to make sure you can cover up potential delays and maybe even defaults, if that's the intention?
So at the moment, we don't have so loan track record, yes, and we have repaid only one loan, one borrowing project. It was one way special campaign, and if the borrower project defaults and I don't know, for some reason he will not able to pay the interest payments, the maklayer continues to pay all the interest payments up to 3 months, and in these 3 months we are starting to ask the borrower. Yes, first month we are calling, writing in emails to ask what happened, how we can solve this problem. Maybe we can find an appropriate solution, or I don't know, maybe we need to sell some collaterals. After 2 months, it can be sold, that it will go to a court, and we can start the legal proceeding. And after 3 months, we just consolidate all debt collections from all claims from investors, and go with these all claims to borrower to borrowing project, and ask to provide all the collaterals to us. And after, we start to realize all of them to sell, and to receive money, and already to repay all the interest payments and the principals as much as each of investor was invested specific project.
Yeah, but it's a project, the provision fund only intended to cover short-term
repayment issues. 3 months.
And are the, so the provision fund is not used to cover up any defaults if they arise?
No. In defaults, we just realize all the collaterals, sell them.
Okay. And by taking 2% from your commission of the finance project, is that sufficient to cover up then also potential delays, or do you somehow need to add additional fees, or is that a sufficient?
Of course, we in the future we will add some additional fees, because right now all the money which the platform earns we spend on our loyalty program, bonus program. But we are trying to decrease this program, and our also bonuses we are not paying right now we are paying like 20 euros. Yes, maybe in 2 months we will pay 10 euros for every 500. So it will be not 4% for the bonus program, but maybe 2%. Yes. And the one will go to the platform directly, and one maybe will go like extra to provision fund. So of course we want to raise the amount of money in the provision fund to like feel safe. It's our security measure.
Yeah. Do you also plan to publish to be a bit more transparent about the size of the provision fund? So will investors be able to see how much money accumulated?
Of course. Yeah, in our statistics, in our homepage, you will see the amount at the moment in the provision fund.
Okay, but when is it already in live now? Because I haven't seen it on the website.
You can see right now only totally funded amount, repaid loans, average interest rate. But in the nearest future, you will also see this amount of the money in provision fund and also maybe some extra features. As I said, like a summary of our scoring model near all the specific project.